I'm going to say that again. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? The stuff that come to mind is not so good. But God pulled me up out of that muck and miry clay, put my feet on solid ground. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whew, could be so much worse. Could be so much worse. First, give an honor to God for his goodness and his mercy. Thanks to Pastor Lyons for the opportunity and the deacons for holding it down. To all the ministers of the gospel in this house and the ministries in this house, and to the Tabernacle family here and online, and our visitors here and online, I say good morning to you. If you don't mind bowing your heads for a moment of prayer, I ain't gonna be before you long. It's football day. I know y'all trying to hurry up and get out of here. And I'm right behind you. I'm right behind you. Even now, Lord, even now. Lord, bless me to articulate your words, so that every ear and every heart in this house will hear you speaking to them and understand what you have sent me to do this morning. Remove Robin right now, Lord, and stand up in me. In Jesus' precious name I say, amen. I want to ask you a question. What day is it? What day is it? Hallelujah. We're going to do what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because only God can make a day. And if he gives you that day, he will surely give you the bread that you need for that day. Y'all probably wonder why I say that all the time. Because I believe it. That's why I say it. Because I believe it. If you don't mind standing for the reading of the word, going to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to start at verse 1. And we're going to do 1 through 3. And then we're going to skip down to verse 8, 9, and maybe 10. Amen. I hear pages turning. I like to hear the pages turning. Amen. I mean, people showed up with their Bibles and didn't depend on the screen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it reads like this. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complained that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. So we're going down to verse 8. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin." Amen. Might save 10 for later. You may be seated in the presence of God and his angels. This morning, I want to speak on retracing your steps. Retracing your steps. This book, along with the book of Acts, was written by Dr. Luke. And he addresses them to his dear friend, Theophilus. Now, to me, that sounds kind of like he is just wanting to make sure Theophilus knows what's going on and nobody else knows what's going on. Or maybe he's expecting Theophilus to tell the story. But somehow, somebody told the story, and it got written. But these two books were addressed to my dear friend, Theophilus, okay? Theophilus' name means one who loves God. So that's another reason why he sent it to him. He could trust him with it. Sometimes we go to our friends and family, church members, and we may be in distress or we might know something and we tell them, but we might be telling it to somebody that we cannot trust. That is concerning with prayers, situations. Everybody has a situation in their life. And you may be just telling it to the wrong person. Sometimes the person you're telling it to is the person that likes to gossip. And then other times you're telling it to, that person is only going to talk to Jesus about it. That's the person that you need. The one that's only going to talk to Jesus about it. Not the one that's going to gossip about it. These two books are the foundational books for Christianity. Luke writes about Jesus' birth, life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension in Luke. And in Acts, he writes about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the early churches, how the church got started. So in this narrative, the Pharisees and religious leaders were bothered that Jesus was associating himself with tax collectors and wicked, untrustworthy, dishonest, deceitful, lying sinners. Meaning they would be enraged if Jesus would be socializing with people like us. So that's what they was mad about, that he was associating with the common folk and not the upper echelons. But this was actually a setup because they was trying to get the goods on Jesus. So they would have some leverage to get rid of him. They wanted him gone. He was disrupting the order of their traditions. He was disrupting the way that they carried on. He was disrupting their customs. But Jesus didn't come for order or traditions or common ways. Jesus came for the lost. He didn't come for shape, form, or fashion. John writes, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, sometimes we have that Pharisee spirit, believing that we are too good to associate with people that they described in this verse here. Too good to speak to them, too good to hug them, to give them a little love. They may not smell like you. They may not look like you. They may not be wearing hats like you. Their suit doesn't look like yours. So we back off. We back off. This is not our kind of people. Or they're not in your station of life. They don't measure up to your standards. You know, we set a standard. You don't come here. See ya. We set our own standards. And that's wrong. I just want to tell you that that is wrong. We tend to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But even at our very best, with our church face on, our church clothes on, our church hats on, our sock and shoe ministry, that even then, we are just filthy rags. Just filthy rags that's made out of dust. We need to sometimes just look in the mirror. Retrace our steps. And see just where you came from. And see just what the Lord has done for you. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many degrees you have. Because the more degrees you got, the more debt you got. I don't care how many cars you have or how many houses you own. You still just filthy rags. Still just filthy rags. Jesus came for the lost. He came for me and he came for you. In psychology today, on the subject of memory, in a January 2011 issue, this man Mike Houston wrote the saying, "It is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all," could easily apply in a modified form to memory slips, saying it is better not to have lost in the first place than to have lost and had to find it. And only we can prevent that lost. Because Jesus is not going to go over our will. He's always standing right there. But it's up to you. It's up to you to speak up for your own self. We know how frustrating it is when we lose something, a cherished personal possession, an important computer document. Come on, y'all. We have to do it all over again. Or even an ordinary umbrella, your keys. You're going to be unhappy about the loss of the object itself. But it's safe to bet that you're more upset about the time it's going to take you to try to find it. You're losing precious time. Sometimes it takes days, hours, minutes, set you behind because you done misplaced something. I do this every day. Every day. It don't make no sense. And you know that it's supposed to be where you put it. But it's not there. And then the agony, you just, "Lord, where is it?" And then you vow to yourself, when I find this, this ain't gonna happen no more. It's not gonna happen no more. But it happens again. It's mainly with my debit card. I get the gas. I hurry up. It's raining. It's cold. Get in the car. Put it in my pocket. And I get ready to use it. The next day, I don't have it. Because it's not in this pocket. It's somewhere else. Get to the store. Same problem. Got to get out of line. Transfer money from this account to use this card. It's a sad state of affairs. It really is. When you lose something that you need, it really is. But then you got to retrace your steps. You got to try to go back into the past and retrace your steps. This chapter 15 in Luke is essentially the lost and found chapter in the Bible. The lost and found chapter in the Bible. I'm not going to read it all, but if you read it at your leisure, you will find out that everything in this chapter got lost, but it was found. A sheep was innocently lost and found. That sheep had a wandering spirit and just wandered off. A coin that was carelessly lost and found by a woman that was absent-minded like me. And a son that was willfully lost was found. He had a deliberate, determined, reckless spirit. The one thing was an animated object that was non-human, that was a sheep. The other thing was an inanimate object that was a coin. And the third one was an animate object that was a human, and he was a son. And the percentage of the loss grows in each case. From out of the 100, 1%, then goes out of the 10, 10%, and then out of the 2, 50%. And these stories show there is 100% chance of recovery and restoration regardless of the percentage of the loss. Because the one that's doing the recovering is not us, it's God. So you got to remember, it doesn't matter what you done. It doesn't matter what mess you got yourself into. There's a 100% chance of recovery. We can all say that we might have lost an animal, a dog or a cat or a bird. You know, like I say, I lose something every day. I mean every day. Here, in the office, at home, in the car, it just doesn't matter. I put it there and I know. But this is what happens. Age creeping on. And we can all say that we know of someone or even ourselves that's lost a child. Lost a child through disobedience. Lost a child through the hands of law enforcement. Lost a child because of drugs or sickness or alcoholism. Lost a child to the far country. And in this particular scripture, the lost child returns home. But that's not always the case. They don't always return to our home address. But there is another home that they return to. We don't always find our lost animals. We don't always find what we've been looking for in the house. I lost a pair of earrings. One earring. Now, this is ridiculous. One earring I lost in the house. I had two earrings in my hand. I took them off my desk. I was taking them to the jewelry box. And by the time I got in there to put them in, I had one earring. And to this day, over a year now, I have not found that earring. I don't know if the earring monster came and got it or what, but that earring is just gone. And I'm just holding on to one gold earring, don't have the other one. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. Our lost children don't always come home from the far country. They don't. The son that was lost in the far country. But then there are times when you're lost in the house. Lost in the house of God. Many of us can say that when we came to the house of God, that we were not who we were supposed to be. When we came, we were not. We were not who we are now. We were not. We were somebody else. Some heard the word of God and came. some not only heard, but they heard the voice of God. The word of God is one thing, but the voice of God is something else. Others remained in the house, but still lost in the house. One foot in the house and one foot in the far country. But the Lord is calling, but we are not answering. And I can testify for myself. The Lord called me to preach in 1998, and it took me to 2002 before I said yes. Lost in the house. I was in the house. I heard the word of God. I heard the voice of God. But I refused to do what I needed for God. How many of you in here have heard the word of God, heard the voice of God, but are refusing to do what you need to do for God? I know some of you been called to do some things in here that you're not doing. That you're not doing. Because of anger, church hurt, home hurt. I don't know what kind of hurt. But they always put the biggest hurt on church hurt. They can hurt you at work, hurt you in the club, hurt you at the party. You still go back and hang with them. But then somebody say something cross to you in the church, you ain't never going back. And then if I do go back, I ain't saying nothing to nobody. And then if I do say something, I ain't doing nothing. I'm just going to go there, sit there, listen, and go out the side door. I'm not speaking to nobody. I'm just going in there. My mama was there. My grandmama was there. So I'm just going to be there, and then I'm going out the door. Not going to do nothing. Sit up in here every Sunday. Don't do nothing. We supposed to be working for the kingdom of God. We supposed to be working for the kingdom of God. I don't care what it looked like. The Lord has the end of the story. We're not making the end of the story. I'm sorry. The scripture says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a light, sweep the entire house carefully, and look for it? Retracing her steps, trying to remember what she did when she was taking out the coins. The scripture does not say why she took out the coins. Just said she lost a coin. Maybe she wasn't supposed to take the coins out. Maybe she was in disobedience then, taking the coins out from where they were supposed to be. Because sometimes when you go out into the far country, you might lose something. You might lose something. The scripture said that she swept the house clean. Maybe her house was a mess. Maybe this was a reason to get her to clean her house, looking for that coin. You know how we do when company coming? When the holidays show up, you knew the holidays was coming. And the holidays show up, that son had journeyed to the far country. And sometimes our far country is more enticing than the church. Why would that be? That the far country is more enticing than the church, than the house of God. It's the reason why sometimes the people that's in the far country are much nicer. They treat people a lot better. They don't judge you by the way you look. they don't ask you, where you been for so long? Amen. You show up in the far country, hey, man, what's going on? Come on now. They glad to see you. You got to be glad to see people when they come in from the far country. You got to welcome them in. Make them feel at home. Because that's what happens in the far country. I don't care how many weeks it's been since you ain't been with your partners. When you show up, hey, look who in the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all ain't always been sitting in choir robes. We got to be more accepting, more loving, and not look at them and their mess. Because you're going to make a mess when you're in the far country. I don't care what street you on in the far country. You're going to make a mess in your far country. Have you ever lost something that was so important to you that you asked God to help you find it? Lord, if you just help me find this, I am not going to be in this situation again. We got to retrace your steps. You got to go back into this room and see if you can think about what you was thinking about when you lost it or when you was going to get it. Retracing your steps. You got to try to think about what you was thinking about. What was I thinking about? What was I doing? What did I have in my hand? What door did I come in? Did I leave it in the car? Go back in the car. Sit in the car. This is what happens. This is what happens to our mind. This is what happens to our spirit. It gets lost. I imagine when Jesus went back to get that lost sheep, that he retraced the footprints of the sheep. I'm going to get the one. The 99 are here. They settled. I'm going to get the one. Which way did he go? Oh, okay. He went that way. Retracing the steps to go to get the one. That's what he does for us. In our mess, retracing the steps. They done went down there to that club again. I'm going to have to try to pull them out this time because it might be a shooting in a few minutes. Retracing your steps. Jesus retraced his steps for the lost sheep. The woman retraced her steps looking for the lost coin. And the son retraced his steps looking for his lost life. But then there was an antithesis to the story. An ungrateful son who retraces nothing. He goes on acting as he deserves everything. And the lost son deserves nothing. He's been there all the time. His brother was in the far country, but he wasn't glad to see him. He never missed a meal. He never slept outside under the stars, and never as a Jewish son had to live in a pig pen. Unappreciative for what he has. No love to show for his missing brother. No retracing his wonderful life. You know that Christmas movie, A Wonderful Life. He had to retrace his steps. The angel made him retrace his steps to see how good his life really was. What do you need to retrace in your life? Is there still something lost, or do you believe you're right where you should be? And you've done all you should have done, and there's nothing left to do. Well, I come by to tell you this morning, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need to retrace our steps. And if for nothing else, we need to retrace our steps to see how far God has brought us. And he didn't just bring us a mighty long way. He brought us all the way. Because there's a God who retraced his steps, retraced his mind, and remembered all the love he had for his one and only son. But he still sent him to save us from our sins. And Jesus retraced his steps. He retraced his heart and remembered all the love that he had for us. This is why you need to retrace your steps. Come back to your first love. The son that was in the far country decided to go back to his first love, his father. When this son was still far off, when his father saw his son, he ran out to greet him. And the son tried to apply for a job, but the father would not let him speak. He called to the servants to get him clothed and put a ring on his finger. He knew he had done made a mess out there. He knew he had been living in a mess, but his love covered all that he did. His love cut. You could always come back into the house. You could always come back into the house. He didn't care anything about the mess he had been. All he knew is where his son was home. And then he tells the servants to go and kill the fattened calf. The fattened calf, that means that he has been fattening that calf ever since his son left. Because it would have been too long to go fatten the calf and then kill it. But the calf was already fattened, waiting for the son to come home. He was waiting. He knew he was in a mess. But he had faith in God. My son is going to come home. Sometimes we got to have a little faith in God that your children are going to come home. We got to believe that what we trained them, how we trained them, what's in them, that the Lord is faithful, his word is faithful. We got to believe that. We got to believe it. The word said, train them up in the way they should go. And when they old, they won't depart from it. And everybody does not get old at the same time. Some get old at 20, some 30, some 40, some 50, some 60 and 70. One person's getting old is not the next person's getting old. But he had fattened that calf. And he was already ready, waiting for the son to come home. Jesus did not allow that sheep to be lost and become slaughtered. Jesus found the sheep before the sheep was slaughtered by the animals, slaughtered by what the world would do, slaughtered by things that could take you down. Before the sheep found himself in the mess, Jesus found the sheep. When you come from under the protection of the Father, you might find yourself in a mess. We got to stay in the house. We got to stay under the protection of the Father, or we will find ourselves in a mess. A mess in bad relationships, a mess in alcoholism, a mess on drugs, a mess in riotous living, a mess being financially challenged, a mess that you created of your own doing, a mess you can't seem to get out of, a mess that allowed you, that has not allowed you to be who you're supposed to be. I'm only talking to the folk in here that might have created a mess in their life. Those are the only ones I'm talking to today, the ones that might have created a mess. But to get rid of the mess, sometimes those old thoughts and those old ways and those old habits not going to work for you. When you are up to your eyeballs in a mess, not your family, not your friends can get you out of the mess. Only Jesus can get you out of the mess. Getting rid of the mess is harder than it was making the mess. Getting rid of the mess is harder than it was making the mess. Let me tell you a little story, and then I'm going to take my seat. You know how in the Old Testament, the Bible says that you need to tell the children about the works of Jesus and the works of God and the move of the Holy Spirit and how God rescued them many times, not just one time, but many times. And so they tell the story to their children, and they want their children to tell the story to their children, to tell of God's goodness and his mercy. Well, I'm one of those children. I heard a story from some old seasoned preachers. And, you know, sometimes you just got to be at the feet of people that you know, that you know, that you know they know what they're talking about. You know they preaching, okay? So I'm one of those children, and you might have heard the story from me before, I don't know, but it's been passed down, not from children to children to children, but from preacher to preacher to preacher. So this is how this story goes. Early in 215, Dr. Wayne Thompson out of St. Petersburg, Florida, was in South Africa. And I know this man. I'm just not saying something that I don't know nothing about. I know this man. And he got a great ministry in St. Petersburg. And one day he went on a safari while he was in South Africa. And they were on a bus. And it was out in the wild, tracking wild animals. And on the bus there was a driver. And there was a tour guide. And there was another person on that bus. He was called the tracker. And the tracker's job, the tracker stood behind the driver. And the tracker's job was to examine the manure, the waste, the excrement in the middle of the road. And the tracker could tell what kind of animal was in the vicinity and what kind of animal had passed by. He could tell by looking at the manure the animal had left behind. They would identify animals by their mess. So when he saw a pile here, he said, "That's monkey mess." And when he saw another pile over there, he said, "That's giraffe mess." And when he saw another pile over there, he said, "That's rhinoceros mess." And he seen another pile over there, that's hippopotami mess. And when he saw another pile on the side, he said, "That was some lion mess." Somebody y'all see where I'm going with this right now. I came to Jesus just as why I was, weary, worn, and sad. Why don't you look at somebody and say, "He tracked me down and he identified me by my mess." Somebody ought to thank God in here this morning that he didn't define me and leave me in my mess. Can I get just one witness in here? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody ought to shout right now that I came to Jesus just as I was. Weary, worn, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. But grace brought me thus far, safe thus far, and grace shall lead me on. I'm going to end right where I began. I'm going to thank God for a second chance. I'm going to thank God for a third chance. I'm going to thank God for a fourth chance. And I'm going to thank God for a fifth chance. I dare you. I dare you, like we used to say in Cincinnati, that I double dare you to look back and see your piles. Tell somebody, "I got a pile over there. I got a pile over there. I got a pile over there. I got a pile over there." But one day, he picked me up. One day, he turned me around. One day, he put my feet on solid ground. Somebody on holiday, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. Thank God for saving me. Can I get a shout this morning for at least five people? Can I get a shout for salvation? Can I get a shout this morning for the blood of Jesus? Can I holler like I want to this morning? Anybody want to shout on the blood? It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength, from day to day shall never, never, never lose its power. Somebody holler, never. Turn to your neighbor and holler, never. Shake somebody's hand like you're gonna shake it off and say, never, never, never. But let me tell you something. In spite of all my powers, I am still covered. I'm still covered by the blood. Somebody holler, I'm covered. I'm covered. I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Covered. I'm in the house, but I'm covered. I'm in the house. I'm covered. I am in love with the way God loves messy people. The biggest mistake you can make is to believe that you are all alone. You are not alone. God is here. He is here. He brings order to disorder, hope from despair. God is in the business of cleaning up our messy lives. Cleaning up our messy lives. Don't you sit here and act like you ain't made a mess somewhere. I know you made a mess somewhere. I know you made a mess somewhere. Because if you had not made a mess, you wouldn't be in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That should be a warning about a mess on your birth certificate, but it's not. It doesn't tell you that you're going to wind up in some messes. It doesn't tell you which way to go when you do. But I thank God that I had a mother and a father that told me which way to go. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Regardless of how you are feeling, regardless of what you're doing in your life, regardless of what kind of mess you in, just retrace your steps. Retrace your steps. See what you need to change. See what you need to fix. Stay in the house. Stay in the city. Stay in Jerusalem. God is able because you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Stay in the city. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah this morning. At this moment, we're going to open up the doors of the church. And if it's anybody in here that don't know Jesus, feel like you're in a mess right now this morning, and you want to come out the mess, I invite you to come to the front. But I want you to come up here to meet Jesus.